Oh, yeah. Okay, today is the November 8th, the 30th of Cheshvan Rosh Chodesh Kislev. It's very exciting. And we are starting Perek Zayin for real. Last week we did it, but just because of the references of the Cedar House. So we're going to try to accomplish two things today. We're going to try to accomplish figuring out why David thought now was a good time to begin building the Beit HaMikdash. And two, why Hashem said no. Hi, Ruth. Oh, okay, so you guys share? Yeah, okay, it's all good. Okay, so why, we just started. So why David decided now is a good time to build the Beit HaMikdash and why Hashem said no. And how Hashem said no. Okay, because there's all different versions of this. Okay, so as you know, so here's the psukim where David decides. These are the first three psukim in the parak, which we read last week. We'll read it again. Vayhi ki yashav hamelech beveito, v'Hashem heniach lo misaviv mekol evav. So it came to pass when the king dwelt in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies. I bolded that in the Hebrew because we're going to see that maybe that wasn't really 100% the case, that he had rest from all his enemies. Vayomer hamelech al Natan hanavi. So the king said to Natan, his Navi, and I think this is the first time we're meeting him. I said that last week, but you guys don't remember meeting Natan before, right? So Shmuel died a while ago already, and this is the first time we're seeing Natan, who is the official royal Navi at this time.
That's before the story with Bathsheba.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's when Natan really becomes famous. Okay. Re'ena Anochi Yoshev Bebeit Arazim. See, I am sitting in this house of cedar, this strong, sturdy house. And the Aron of God is sitting in curtains. It doesn't have a sturdy building. Vayomer Natan el Hamelech. Natan said to the king, Kol asher bilvavcha, lech aseh ki Hashem imach. So Natan said to the king, anything that's in your heart, go and do because Hashem is with you. Right? And it seemed that way up until now, that anything David has wanted to accomplish, yes, with bringing the ark, he got punished, and there was a death with Uzzah, but he fixed it, and he was able to bring the ark to Yerushalayim. So it would seem that Hashem is with him, and he can accomplish anything that he wants. And it's, to be honest, plenty time to do this, because we read in Devarim, Ve'avartem et ha'yardim, ve'yashavtem ba'aretz, asher Hashem elokeichem manchilchem. You're going to cross the Jordan River, so this is part of Moshe's, actually his second speech out of four or five, depending how you count, to the Jewish people, which is all of Sefer Devarim. So it's on the other side of the Jordan River. And you will settle in the land that Hashem gave to you, that Hashem inherited to you. V'hiniach lechem mikol oyveichem. And he will leave you from all your enemies. So this is the same language as what I bolded. I should have also bolded it here. So he'll give you rest from all your enemies around you. V'shavtem betach. And you will be settled securely. Bitachon betach. V'haya hamakom asher yivchar Hashem elokeichem bo. And it will be that the place that Hashem will choose for you, l'shakin shemo sham, to make his name dwell there. So l'shakin, to dwell. What word do you know that we're dealing with?
Shechem.
Right, but what does David want to do? The Shechina and also the Mishkan. Right? It's literally the dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, L'shaken Shemo Sham, where his name will dwell there. Shama Taviu et Kol Asher Anochi Metzaveh Etchem. There you will bring all that I am commanding you, Olotechem, your burnt up sacrifice, V'zivchehem, and the other sacrifices, Ma'asrotechem, your tithes, Utrumat Yadchem, and the, it says here, separation by your hand, but it's all your donations. V'chol mivchar nidrechem, and all the, whenever you make a vow and you fulfill it, you bring a korban, asher tidru l'Hashem. Okay, so this is clearly talking about things that are done in the temple, right? So this is talking about the place where you're going to build Bayit Rishon, the temple. And what's interesting is that, so when we use the Hebrew word hinchil, nachala, so this was not 100% accomplished during the time of Yahushua. So Yahushua takes over, leads the Jewish people in, and conquers a lot of the land. They didn't do it as they should have, but a lot of the land. And then after Yeshua come all the Shoftim, right? Hundreds of years. Hundreds of years are passing. And then Shmuel, who's the last of the Shoftim, the first of the to anoint the kings, to initiate the time of the kings, Shaul's the first king. We talked a few weeks ago about how he didn't even bother with the Aron trying to move it, right? David tries to criticize him for it until he himself gets struck by the Aron and he recognizes how serious it is. And now David, it's time. It's been hundreds of years. They have the land. And now David, it seems, has made peace with all, or not exactly peace, but nobody's fighting him. He's renowned as a great fighter. Nobody's threatening them. It's time. Seems obvious, right? We even have the similar language of rest from all your enemies. Okay? So let's just look at Rashi there. V'hiniach lachem, he'll give you rest. Lachar kibush v'chaluk u'menucha. After conquering and dividing the land and having obtained rest, so that's in Shoftim, min hagoyim, from the surrounding nations, asher hiniach Hashem lanasot ba met Yisrael, which the Lord had left over these non-Jewish nations to test Israel, ve'ein zot ela bimei David, and this did not happen until the time of David. So Rashi here in this short little explanation is explaining why they didn't attempt to do it during Shoftim. You know that if you've ever learned Shoftim, it's a, I forgot if it's a sine or cosine graph. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
So the Jewish people believe in God, trust God, everything's great. They start to worship idols. Their enemies start fighting them. It gets really bad. They cry out to God. God appoints a judge, and then it gets better, and then everyone's
but
happy.
But the chiluk of the land happened in
Yehoshua.
It
happened in Yehoshua, but not 100%. They had to continue defending the borders and everything, and not everyone.
They had to conquer everything.
Yeah, so they didn't conquer everything they needed to, even in Yehoshua, and they continued conquering.
So where did some tribes live if they didn't have their land?
It's a good question, and it's all on, there's definitely articles about it in VBM. I'm not exactly sure, but some of them got squished a little. But anything, it's very interesting, anything right around Gilgal and Shiloh, whoever's land that was fully conquered, because those were the first two places that the Mishkan was. And then getting further north is a little more complex, except for, you know, they had Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh over there also. So, yeah. Okay. So then Rashi continues with the next pasuk. V'haya makom, all those things. Banu lechem beit bichira, build for yourself this chosen house, b'Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim, Rashi tells us, which is where David just moved the Aron to. V'chein hu amer b'David, and this is what it says in David, and these are psukim. V'ayhi ki yashav ha-melech b'beito, v'Hashem iniach lo misaviv mikol avav. This is exactly our psukim of David sitting in his house, and Hashem had caused all the enemies to go away. Vayomer ha-melech al Natan ha-Navi, and that's when Natan ha-Navi gets the idea. So David was learning Torah, and he saw that the opportunity was right. Okay. So now the Radak on our psukim. So we're exiting from the Torah on the bottom, page 1. And the Radak, Yoshev b'toch ha-Yiriya, it's sitting in the curtains. Lo haya dato al ha-Aron hazeh levado, elegam al ha-Mizbeach al ha-Aron ha-Acher. So Radak is telling you that David's not just concerned with the Aron, which is, you know, the thing with the kruvim on top, but all of the accoutrements that go along with it, with the mizbeach, the altar, and there's the Radak here is mentioning the other Aron. So there's a debate based on all the way in Shmot, when it's talking about the construction of the Mishkan and everything with it, whether there was one Aron or whether there were two, and one would be the one that Bezalel made, and one is the one that Moshe made, and the one Bezalel, and one of them would go out to war with the Jewish people. You see that they bring it out to war. That's how we lost it in the first place, when the war with the Plishtim, and the Jews decide to bring it, and the Plishtim conquer it, and they have it for 7 months. We reviewed that a lot when we were talking about bringing the Aron back. So the Radak is clearly of the opinion that there were two. Val Klei HaMishkan, and all the vessels of the Mishkan, Shayu B'Giv'on. So remember, I've been mentioning this several times because it's something that was new to me also in learning this. So the Aron, which we've been focused on, was sitting in Beit Shemesh for a really long time, and then Kiryat Yearim, and now it's in Yerushalayim. The Mizbeach is now in Giv'on after having been destroyed, having the priests of Nov been massacred. It was in Nov before that. Okay? So then it moved to Givon, and it will have to also find its way to Yerushalayim for the basic.
So everything is kind of piecemeal around the country?
So it's not everything. The Aron was separate because they brought it out to war with them, and the Plishtim captured it, and then everyone was too scared to touch it. And then the Mizbeach, where they would do the actual Korbanot and everything. So that has been. So once Shiloh, they were all united. Mm-hmm. And then that same war where they brought out the Aron was also when the Plishtim conquered Shiloh and destroyed it. And that's when the Plishtim had the Aron and the Mizbeach then. I feel like it was somewhere else before Nov. I had it all memorized. I'm losing it now. But it ended up in Nov, which is where Shaul was chasing David, and Doeg had this whole campaign to get David, and they destroyed mm-hmm. all the priests in Nov, and then it went to Gibeon.
Isn't Gibeon where Gideon is from?
I think so, yeah.
So it seems like the Aron is going to a lot of places that there was Avodah Zarah.
Well, this is not...
Maybe it's like
right.
purifying the place.
Right. So remember again, because this is just the way you worded it, this is what I struggled with also. The Aron is just the Aron, with the poles and the Kruvim on top, and then the Mizbeach and everything else is separate from it. So they're two different... Yeah. So that's what's in Givon, still, is a Mizbeach. So the Aron, David's brought back to Yerushalayim, and the Aron, the Mizbeach, sorry, is in Givon now. Okay, so when David is saying... The Aron is in the curtains. Radak is saying he's not just concerned about the Aron, but he's concerned about everything that's still in Givon, and he wants to make the temple for everything again. Okay, Be'ohel Moed, so he's calling that the Ohel Moed, Ki Hakol Yoshev B'Tocha Yiriyah, because everything is really under the curtain. V'Zecher Aron L'fi Shehu Natalo HaYiriyah, and so he's just explaining why he's specifically mentioning the Aron. Okay, let's skip that. Malbim, then. So page 2. Vayehi. Kvar be'aruch chazal she'al binyan ha-mikdash hayat tzarich shnei tana'im. So he's just going to elucidate what I've been explaining, but he's going to organize it a little better. So chazal have explained that there are two conditions for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Echad, first they need to have a king, okay, which we can excuse all of Shoftim, they didn't have a king. But that they need to have rest from their enemies. And again, he quotes the psukim that we just did. So skip down to the next line after the period. And David, for good reason, thinks that he's fulfilled both of these conditions. Im mitzad mashchuto, if it's from the aspect of his kingship, sha'alze omer vahi ki yashav hamelech bebeito, the king is sitting in his house, he's ensconced, he's officially the king. Shabayit shabana lo chiram, haya etzlo siman ki hechino Hashem lo melech al Yisrael, kach nir kenechtav le'al. So Chiram, who we're going to see a little later also, he's a non-Jewish king. I'm blanking where he's from. We're going to talk about him later, though. So he...
Tyre.
What? Tyre, thank you. Yes, Tyre. And they're known for their cedar wood. So he donated a lot of the supplies for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so... And he built him the house. He's a very good friend to the Jewish people, Hiram. And he'll be a good friend to Shlomo as well. And this is a sign that that Hashem had prepared him to be the king over all of Israel. And now we also have David saying that all the enemies have let them rest. And therefore, bet Bayomer Hamelch Natan, the king says to Natan, Darash Hanavi im yaskim Hashem lazeh. He couldn't just decide on his own, because as we've seen from David's MO, he always consults with Hashem with everything he does. And that was a big difference between him and Shaul. And he always does what Hashem says, l'tov l'ra. So he's not just going to decide to build this house, even though he seems like the conditions are right. He's going to ask from the Navi first if Hashem agrees with this. Shiodiyahu hamakom asher yivchar Hashem l'shaken shmo sham. So, and he'll inform him if this is the right thing to do. Ve'amar le'ra'a nochi yoshev. And he said to them, see, I'm sitting. Ritzon lamar. Hasbara mechayavet livnoto. This explanation actually might obligate us to build it. Re'ena ba'ayin ha'nevuai im tov hadavar livnei Hashem. Now see if this is also good before Hashem. Gimel, so what's missing just from the psukim, if you review those three psukim in your head? He asks Natan the Navi with the expectation of what?
Yes.
That he'll ask God, right? But then what does Natan do?
He just gives an answer.
Yeah, exactly. There's no consulting with anybody here, okay?
Also, I think that in the past, David has consulted the Urim V'Tumim.
Right, David consulted the Urim V'Tumim. So there must... Right. So even though I couldn't find anything, and I might explore it more, there's some shift here that goes from the Urim V'Tumim to Natan, which is interesting. Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah. So maybe the king's allowed to consult with the Urim V'Tumim when it's an emergency. Well, we've talked about this before in the very beginning, that there are four different offices of leadership. So there's the melech, there's the shofet, which is really like the courts. The shoftim during the period of shoftim was a little different. So you have the shoftim, you have the kohen, and then you have the navi. And we get in trouble when those offices...
Can you say it again?
Melech, I'll tell you how you remember it in a second. Melech, shofet, the courts, kohen, navi. What do those spell, Rosh Teva? Melech, shofet, kohen, navi?
Mishkan.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So we saw when, because Eli the Kohen was also the Navi. And we see how corruption happens when things get mixed up. That's also, now that we're Rosh Chodesh Kislev, that is Ramban Nachmanides' big complaint against the whole Hasmonean line, kingdom, and how they're the Kohanim. So you can't mix it, you know, you really can't mix these things, and that's why it was doomed to fail. And he, the Ramban, has a whole argument about how they took it unjustly and they shouldn't have been the kings, which is really interesting. Okay, so I don't know, like, it's a very good question. Why is David consulting with a Navi? I mean, obviously he didn't have a Navi at his side then, and he did have the Urim V'Tumim because of having been in Nov with the Kohanim and the one who survived Nov being able to bring the Urim V'Tumim with them. So I don't know. It's a very good question. Okay, so Vayomer Natan, Basher Odlo Higia Dvar Hashem, Kim Nie'ehu Mizeh. So Malbim says, since the word of God hadn't yet reached him, because God was withholding it from this, Heshiva Miderach Hasvara. So Natan, the prophet, gives an answer by way of logic. Okay? Kol asher bilvavecha lechaseh. Everything in your heart, go and do. Shehet tzadikim hagdolim yochlu lismoch al haskamat levavam. Because great tzadikim could rely on their hearts. Shehu achtov, that their heart was naturally good. Hafach habeinonim sheyetzuar ki yatzar samuchbam. And this is the opposite of beinonim, that are created. So I don't know enough about the Malbim, and I've never seen him do this before, to know if he's really a Lubavitcher Chassid at heart or a Kabbalist. Okay, so what he's getting into with a tzaddik and a beinonim, the only context I have for this is the Tanya. So I'll explain that in a minute after we finish. V'lechein amar shi'ismocha levavo, and therefore Natan tells him to rely on his heart. Biprat ki Hashem imcha, and specifically because Hashem is with you. U'machshavet levavecha hu ha'arat ruach ha'kodesh hanilva imcha tamid. And he says, the thoughts of your heart is an indication of the ruach ha'kodesh that accompanies you always. It's beautiful Hebrew and beautiful English. You know, it's just beautiful language. So, what's a tzaddik and what's a beinoni? So, tzaddikim, according to the Tanya, and again, I don't know enough about this, I have to find out, are people who actually have gotten rid of their yetzer hara. They don't have one. Beinonim, in between people, are not the classic half mitzvot, half sins. Beinonim are people who still have a yetzer hara, but they're able to always subdue it. So if somebody, Lubavitch, asks you if you're a tzaddik or in between, you can't say you're in between, because that means that you act like a tzaddik, it's just that you have a yetzer hara that you're constantly subduing. It's crazy. And then a rasha is a rasha. So I don't know where that leaves us, but that's what, you can go learn the Tanya and figure out where that leaves you all. Okay, so that's why he's saying the Beinonim that have this Yetzer. I don't know if that's why he's saying it actually, but anyway, it was interesting. Okay, any questions? Okay, so now we've been comparing every once in a while with the parallel stories in Divrei Hayamim, where these stories are repeated. So I just wanted to include that for you. Let's read the Psukim. So they're bottom of page 2, and then we'll go back and see how Divrei Hayamim does it. I should have done it in the opposite order, sorry. No, I know I did this way. Okay, Vayhi Balayla Hahu, Vayhi Dvar Hashem El Natan Limor. So that very night, the word of Hashem came to Natan saying, Lech ve'amarta el avdi el David ko amar Hashem, go and say to my servant, to David, thus says God, Ha'ata tivneli bayit l'shivti, will you build a house for me to dwell in? So this is his way of saying no, by saying a question. And just to make it crystal clear, in Divrei Hayamim, so look right above, it says, Lech amarta el David avdi ko amar Hashem, the exact same words, it's repeating the story. Lo ata tivneli habayit lashavet. You will not build me. It's much more explicit. Okay?
So what's Pesach Dalet from? Oh, that's from regular Nazim.
Yeah, so, yeah, sorry. I didn't put a heading on it, but I have Aleph through Gimel on the top of the page, page 1, where we started. So we're all in the same parak. I just divided it up. Yeah, thank you for clarifying. Okay, so in Divrei Hayamim, it's quite explicit. Okay, so now, I don't want to go into all these psukim, because I really wanted to stick to this topic of why David thought he could build it, and now we're going to transition into why he couldn't build it. So we will go through all these psukim next time, but for now, I just want to pay attention to the bold. So this is a very long speech. It's a very interesting speech about David not building the house, but in a very nice way. He's trying to let him down easily. So the two psukim are Yod and Yod Aleph. V'samti makom la'ami Yisrael u'netativ v'shachan tachtav v'lo yergaz od v'lo yosifu b'nei avla la'an boto kasher b'rishona. Okay, I will appoint a place for my people, for Israel. I will plant them, and they will dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more, and the wicked people shall not continue to afflict them as formerly. Yod Aleph u'lemin hayom asher tziviti shoftim Al Ami Yisrael, Vehani Choti Lecha Mikoi Vecha, Vehigid Lecha Hashem, Ki Bait Yaselecha Hashem. And even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Okay, so now what's strange about this? This is in the future tense. I will give you rest. So David thinks there is rest, but it's, I guess you could say, maybe a cold peace, according to how we're going to understand these psukim. Okay? So it'll be even more peaceful, you know? You can't imagine. Like, right now you think you're at peace because you're not out at war, but it'll be even more peaceful. Okay. So now, who here knows, or thinks they know, or knows, because it is in the text, why can't David build the Beis Mikdash?
Because of wars,
okay? So the war issue, you could skim it in English, is not mentioned by Hashem. I mean the 4 through 17. Okay? There is no mention of war. It does say your son will build it for me, but there's no mention of war. There's no mention of war in the parallel Divrei Hayamim passage. It's not mentioned. Who's the first one to talk about war? David himself. Okay? It's so interesting. Okay. So here the first time is in Divrei Hayamim. So it's when he says it privately to his son Shlomo. So he says Veikra l'Shlomo, bottom page 3. Sorry, Veikra l'Shlomo beno. He calls to Shlomo's son Veitzavehu lifnot bayit l'Hashem Elokei Israel, and he commands him to build a house for God, the God of Israel. Veyomer David l'Shlomo, and David said to Shlomo, Bini ani hayayim levavi lifnot bayit l'Shem Hashem Elokei. I wanted to build this house. It was in my heart to build a house to God, my God. Vayhi al devar Hashem lemor, dam lerov shafachta, umilchamot gedolot asita, lo tivne bayit lishmi, Ki damim rabim shafachta artza lefanai. So the word of God came upon me saying, and again, we have no, in the whole Tanakh, we have no record of this. We have only David saying it. Because of all of the mass amounts of blood that you spilled and the great wars that you did, you will not build the house in my name because you have spilled a lot of blood on the ground before me. Okay? Hine ben nolad lecha hu yeish minucha vehanichoti lo mikol evav misaviv kishlomo yeashmo v'shalom v'sheket etein al Yisrael b'yamav. You will have a son, and he will be a man of rest, and I will cause him to rest from all his enemies. Okay, again, that same language that David thought he was experiencing, but not in the same way Shlomo would, because he will be Shlomo, will be his name, and Shlomo comes from Shalom. I will give Shalom on Israel in his days. Hu yivna bayit Shlom. He will build the house in my name. And he will be to me like a son, and I will be to him a father, and I will prepare his royal throne, Al Yisrael Adolam, on Israel forever. Okay, this is also the promise of David, the house of David forever. Atavani, now my son Yehi Hashem Imchach, Hashem should be with you, v'hitzlachta v'anita beit Hashem, and you shall succeed, and you will build the house of Hashem Elokecha, your God, kasher diber alecha, as he's spoken to you. Okay. So then, later on, and we can read this one in English just for the sake of time, David then gathers all the leaders of Israel, the leaders of the tribes and leaders of the divisions who serve the king, and the leaders of the thousands and leaders of the hundreds, and the officers over all the property and the livestock of the king of sons, with the attendants and the mighty men, and to all the mighty warriors to Jerusalem. Okay, everyone's there. And King David rose to his feet and said, "Hearken to me, my brethren and my people. As for me, it is with my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and I prepare to build." And as most of you probably know, when Shlomo actually sat down to build it, everything was in place. It's like an Amish house building. Like, he just had to put everything up. But David really had prepared everything he possibly could. But God said to me, and this is what he's announcing to all the people, and this is why we love David and his humility, "You shall not build a house in my name because you are a man of war and you have shed blood. But the Lord God of Israel chose me out of the entire house of my father to become king over Israel forever, for he chose Judah for a rule, and in Judah my father's house, and among my father's sons he desired me to make me reign over all Israel. And all my sons, for the Lord gave me many sons, he chose my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said to me, 'Your son Solomon, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to me as a son, and I shall be to him as a father.'" Okay, exactly what he told his son. "And I shall establish his kingdom for eternity if he strengthens himself to perform my commandments and my ordinance as of this day." And just to further strengthen David's role in the Beis HaMikdash, it's Chanukah, and one of the most famous parak of Tehillim associated with Chanukah is Mizmor Chanukah Tabayit LeDavid, a song of the dedication of the house of David. Even though he didn't build it, he really put his heart and soul in it, as we can see. And for whatever reason, and we'll try to come to a conclusion, it wasn't to be. And even though Shlomo built it, we call it David. And over Sukkot, also, when we say the special Harachaman and the benching, Sukkot David Honofelet. And we actually learned that. I think it's on YU Torah, what Sukkot David is. And for most people, it's the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash of David. Okay, so now the Radak here has a question, and this is from Rav Amnon Bazak's shir on this parak, which the rest of the shir is following his logic.
Why does they call him Solomon? Like, if somebody would write about, I'm not putting myself in their place, but if somebody, I'm Shoshana, but somebody would call me Susanna. Like, why would I put Shlomo in a translation as Solomon, right? Not Shlomo?
Yeah. I wrote a bunch of articles for Chabad.org, and I had to make sure I wrote Abraham, that you use all the English names. So, I mean, it is the translation, so I don't know. Okay. So.
Maybe it's Latin. So peace.
Well, no, it is a translation. I don't know why. Solomon.
Why is Shechem Nablus? There's no relation between the two words.
That's true. That's true. But if you, Shoshana, if you then be the Megillat Shoshana gets published, I'm sorry, but in English it will be Megillat Susanna.
Why? Esther is Esther.
But Esther translates nicely. Okay.
Chaim is Chaim.
Yeah,
that's true.
Although
I have a cousin.
It's not true.
I have a cousin whose theory is that James, because, you know, in Spanish, the ch becomes a j.
Yeah.
And that James, like, there's, and when you get walk into the old city in Jerusalem, it's St. James. Mm. So James might be Chaim. I don't know. Okay. Anyway.
Some use Vitali instead of Chaim because it's.
Oh,
life.
That's Latin. Interesting.
That was my father's name.
Oh, wow. Cool. Okay. Okay, so we're going to, this is Rav Bazak's English translation, or whoever translated Rav Bazak's essay. So this is the Radak. We're just going to read it in English. So you have shed blood abundantly, and it's a Radak on Divrei Hayamim, you can see. We do not find that God said to him, but David said this in his heart, that for this reason God prevented him from building the temple. Or else Natan the prophet said this to him, and even though it is not written in the book of Shmuel, there are many. You happy with that, Shashi? It says Shmuel? On the Gush website. On the Gush website, yeah. There are many examples of this. And you said, we will send men. So the we will send men is a reference to the spies that in Devarim, when it's repeated, as if it came from the people, the idea. So things that aren't so explicit in the text when it happened, that later on when we see it, it's there. And when he said, you have shed blood abundantly, for there was innocent blood among the blood that he shed, like the blood of Uriah, which we haven't gotten to yet, that's Bathsheba, and this happened before. Also regarding the blood of the priests, he was the reason. As he said, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of your father's house. So when the city of Nov was destroyed, David did take responsibility. Also among the blood of the nations that he shed, it is possible that there were good and pious people among them. Nevertheless, he was not punished for them because his intention was to destroy the wicked, that they not attack Israel, and to save himself when he was in the land of the Plishtim. And therefore he spared no man or woman. But since he was involved in abundant bloodshed, God barred him from building a temple, which is for peace and atonement of sin and the crown of prayer, as he forbade the waving of iron over the altar and in the temple. Since iron is used for the production of tools of death, it should not be used for the production of tools of peace. That's where it's called the shamir, right? The little worm that would hew the stones so that no iron would touch them. Have you heard of this? It's nice. There's a children's story where it has the shamir. It would make a great children's story, right? This little worm that hews it. Okay, so that's why.
It's in the description of the
altar. Yeah, and also I think right after the Ten Commandments, in the description of the altar, the Mizbeach, I think. Yeah, so okay, so the Radak is suggesting that Hashem never told David this, but this is what David told himself about why he couldn't build the Beis Mikdash, which has all sorts of interesting nuance and connotations in that for who David was and how he thought. Which is really beautiful, that he came to peace with the fact that he couldn't build the Beis Mikdash, and he gave it all over to his son. And as we saw from David's words, freely and lovingly and willingly. Okay, so now what happens in Shlomo's time? So we see that after Shlomo takes over, that he, Kihu roda b'kol ever hanahar, so we're in the middle of page 5, mit Pesach ve'ad Aza, so he had dominion over everything from Tifsa to Aza, b'chol machei ever hanahar, and all the kings on that side of the river, v'shalom hayalo mikol avrav, and he had peace from all of the sides. So this is a very different language than
that's the time of Shlomo.
Yeah, this is the time of Shlomo. So it's a different language from rest from your enemies, because they're still your enemies. This is actually a language of actual peace, shalom. Vayeshev Yehuda, Yisrael, Levetach, And Yehuda and Israel were sitting secure, ish tachat gafno, each man under his vine, v'tachat te'inato, and under his fig tree. Midan v'ad Beersheva, kol yemei Shlomo, from Dan until Beersheva, all the days of Shlomo. I think this is interesting because I think this is the first time we're seeing Dan to Beersheva since the time of Shmuel, when Shmuel would travel all over the land from Dan to Beersheva in uniting the Jewish people. So what's interesting is that the language of the Chumash is the same language as the time of David, as rest from your enemies. But here, I guess that's the bare minimum for building the Beis Hamikdash, but in Hashem's wisdom, he knew that there would be actual shalom during the time of Shlomo, and that's why they waited to the time of Shlomo. I don't know if you have any thoughts. It's just interesting.
Rest. Were there any wars after the speech happened? Any big battles?
After which speech?
After Nathan.
Oh. Well, they're in battle because that's how Uriah gets killed. Hmm. Right? So there's definitely battles. And David also, a couple of his wives are Eshet Yafat Toar from battles, you know, that he takes. Mm-hmm. So, and then not only, well...
Is it Achinoam, Isha Yafato, or it's a different one?
Achinoam, and there's a theory that both the mothers of Tamar and Amnon, who had different mothers, were Eshet Yafat Tawar. But I don't remember the names right now.
How could... You said both the mothers of Amnon and Tamar, which had... different mothers, so they're both called Isha Yafatoa?
I think there's a theory, it's not explicit, but I remember reading commentary that they both were somehow. One, I think Achinoam, I don't remember exactly. Yeah, we should have a family tree. okay, so Shalom versus rest from your enemies. It's just an interesting dichotomy. Okay, so now here is Shlomo's speech to Hiram, as we said would come up again, the king of Tyre, who donated a lot of the material. So he also says, he doesn't mention David being bloodshed. So let's just read the English. Solomon sent to Hiram, Shlomo sent to Hiram saying, you knew my father David, that he could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the wars which surrounded him. So Shlomo is also making this distinction between rest from enemies who are still your enemies versus shalom until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. And now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. So he's really spelling it out, the difference in the quality of peace in the two between the two men. And behold, I propose to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke to David my father, saying, your son, whom I will set upon your throne in your place, he shall build a house in my name. Okay, so that is... So we covered why David thought he could, and then the various possibilities for why Hashem said no. So even though David seemed to meet the requirements as spelled out in the Torah for building the house of God, God knew that there would be an even better time soon after to do it. And then David, whether he put it in his own head or not, this notion of all the blood that had spilled, which I think it's really important to point out, we have no record of God explicitly telling David that. We only know it from David from his own words. And even when Shlomo repeats it to Hiram, he's using the language that we do have from Hashem and from the words of the Torah in terms of when it is proper to build the Beis HaMikdash. And may we build it again speedily in our day. Okay.